manager. Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies.
To...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids. Control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Progressive knows you've got enough to worry about in life.
Hi, it's your life again. Feel like another year is just slipping away? Yeah, remember all those New Year's resolutions you made? You still haven't finished the first book. Just 19 more to go. I mean, if we're being honest, it wasn't a very realistic goal. Have you ever considered that you intentionally self-sabotage? So, what's that about?
So, let Progressive protect your home and auto, because you've got enough to worry about. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The NTSB briefing the public on the January mid-air collision between a regional jet and Army Black Hawk helicopter near Washington's Reagan National. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says there needs to be immediate changes to flights at that airport.
The existing separation distances between helicopter traffic operating on Route 4 and aircraft landing on runway 33 are insufficient and pose an intolerable risk to aviation safety by increasing the chances of a mid-air collision at DCA.
All on board both aircraft died. More fallout for stocks after President Trump vowed to slap a 25% tariff on steel and aluminum from Canada starting tomorrow in response to Canada's 25% tariff on electricity to U.S. states. The U.S. and Ukraine meeting today in Saudi Arabia, working on a proposal for a ceasefire deal to end Russia's war. Ukraine agreeing to the U.S. proposal. This is ABC News. Today marks 5 years since the WHO declared a global pandemic. It's no longer a pandemic, but the virus is still with us, killing 3,000 around the world in just the past month. And many are living with the long-term effects of COVID.
Since March 11, 2020, when COVID was first deemed to be a pandemic, more than 1.2 million Americans have died from it. The numbers, however, might be a lot higher. Duke University School of Medicine's Dr. Cameron Wolf says COVID could also have been a factor in things like heart attacks, dehydration, and even falls.
It's hard to determine if the ultimate trigger that led to their passing was COVID. And separating someone who died with COVID from someone who died because of COVID can be really challenging.
Globally, COVID deaths number more than 7 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Los Angeles County still recovering from January's wildfires, now bracing for the first of two storms this week, packed with heavy rains that could trigger mudslides in the burn-scarred areas. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When you switch to Progressive, you could save bundling your home and auto. Then you could put that money towards some of the surprisingly more expensive things in life.
May I help you?
I just wanted to request a late checkout, please.
Of course. That's $30 per hour for up to 4 hours.
Huh. Okay, but if you can offer a late checkout, then that probably means no one is staying in that room. So if it's empty, you know, maybe I can just stay a few extra hours.
Oh, aren't you adorable?
Life costs a lot, so bundle and you could save with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
Hey, Green Goblin here. So you've got a clogged drain in your bathroom. Water in the sink's overstaying its welcome. You're spitting today's toothpaste on top of yesterday's toothpaste. You hope that it'd go away. Yeah, clogs don't just go away. I make them go away. I'm Green Goblin, the only clog dissolver you need. I'm bleach-free, safe for your pipes, and I work. Guaranteed or your money back. Because I never met a clog that was going to unclog itself. Green Gobbler. Let the gobbler get it.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Allen. Wisconsin has joined a multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration's mass firings of federal workers. Democrats Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call have signed on to the lawsuit. Evers accuses Republicans of messing with the lives and livelihoods of federal workers. The suit filed Thursday in Maryland argues the Trump administration unlawfully directed federal agencies to fire thousands of probationary employees. The complaint states that large-scale indiscriminate firings have resulted in chaos for states and communities and are against the law. The lawsuit seeks a court order restraining probationary employees who have been fired since January 20th. With millions being spent on advertising in Wisconsin's Supreme Court election, are voters any better informed?
UW-Madison political scientist Barry Burden says much of the advertising in the race between Dane County Judge Susan Crawford and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel has little to do with the actual job of a state Supreme Court justice.
Crime, records on criminal justice, toughness on crime, associations with police or law enforcement, not very indicative of the kinds of things they'll actually address on the court.
Burden says the ads do help voters understand the candidates' allegiances to groups and causes, their judicial philosophies, and how they think about cases. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
American Family Children's Hospital in Madison is expanding.
The expansion includes 24 new intensive care beds on the hospital's vacant sixth floor, 14 for medical, surgical, pediatric care, and 10 for cardiac intensive care. In 2023, UW Health Kids had to turn away more than 100 children from the hospital because there weren't enough beds. The expansion will bring the total bed count at American Family Children's to 131. Construction is set to begin in 2026. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cooler today compared to yesterday, with highs reaching the mid-40s and winds a bit breezy out of the north. But we're sitting pretty under plenty of sunshine. That stays the case for the rest of the week as well, with highs making it to the mid-50s tomorrow and low 60s on Thursday. Get the bathroom you've always wanted, interest-free, from BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 38.
There were no sparks from this morning's USDA update to the supply and demand tables, but there are some signals we need to tap into from the reports. Wheat was lower, corn and soybeans slightly lower, live cattle were lower, feeder cattle were mixed, and lean hogs were lower. Oh, hey, cotton closed higher. Well, mostly.
Live from the Report Day Afterglow, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Bill Lapp from Advanced Economic Solutions. Then it's Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, sugar, lower. Coffee was sugar. Higher.
Oh,
yeah,
what
coffee,
now?
Coffee was higher. Crude oil, higher.
Okay.
Energy markets, except for natural gas, were mostly higher. So, I mean, it's not like it was lower prices across the board, but we've also got to take a look at what was going on in the equities, because the Dow was sharply lower again this morning. It's off about 180 points right now. So it's well off the lows. The NASDAQ is trading higher. The S&P is trading higher as well, I believe. So, you know, a little bit of backing and filling in here. And, oh, man, the S&P is just slightly higher, only about 7 points. So a little bit of backing and filling, I guess.
Okay.
You know, some corrections to the heavy selling pressure that we've seen in the equities over the past couple of days.
All right, welcome back. You're gonna welcome folks to the show and everything, weren't you? And I was just going to yammer about natural gas. Let's do your thing. Do your thing.
Welcome to AgriTalk. Hey, Davis, what do you got on natural gas?
Bro, $4.50. Let's look at the June, $4.63¾ currently. The May at $4.49. Maybe you like the April contract better. $4.43¾ and down just slightly on the day today.
Holy smokes.
Four handle on natural gas, bro, and it's like $4.50, dude.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing move.
We can use a correction there. Yeah.
Man, oh man, I'm pulling up the chart right now. It goes bottom left to top right on that chart.
Yep.
Holy smokes. Yeah. It's been at it for a while. No doubt.
Well, and it's a good thing that none of us need any fertilizer here coming up, you know?
Right, exactly. And, well, you know, it is good news that we're almost through the heating season.
Well, there's that.
Yeah,
there's
it feels pretty good here today. Not as good as what it did yesterday, but feels pretty good. 50 degrees here in northeast Iowa. It's looking all right.
I think we're a dead even 70 here right now.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah. You might as well be in San Diego.
It's so
Kansas
good.
Kansas City, San Diego, it doesn't matter.
San Diego without the Californians is what it's like down here.
Oh man, it's like paradise. Paradise. All right, let's get to the markets.
I better read the news. USDA estimates 24-25 wheat carryover at 819 million bushels, up 25 million bushels from last month and 22 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. USDA increased the total wheat supply 10 million bushels on larger imports and cut estimated exports 15 million bushels. The bigger carryover estimate had little impact on wheat futures. July's soft red winter wheat opened lower and then fell to close near session lows while completing an inside trading day. The U.S. dollar index traded sharply lower again today, but that failed to provide much support for wheat prices. July HRW wheat 5¾ lower, 585.5. July SRW down 5.5 cents to 571¾. And at last report, July spring wheat futures at 610¼, unsettled but down 8 cents at that point, Chip.
Yeah, a little bit of movement on that, on the wheat export estimate in the supply and demand report. We'll talk to Bill about that, see what that's all about. And you know, a little bit of movement on the import number, too.
Yeah. Well, USDA estimates 24-25 corn carryover at 1.54 billion bushels, steady with February, but 24 million bushels above the average pre-report trade estimate. USDA made no change to the supply or demand side of the balance sheet and left the national average cash corn price projection unchanged from last month at 435. USDA didn't make any changes to its South American production estimates, with Argentine corn unchanged from last month at 50 million metric tons and the Brazilian crop estimated at 126 million. July corn futures opened steady and rallied through resistance at 480. Before turning back to post a low range close just below the opening range, May corn futures today, 1¾ lower, 470¼. July corn down a penny and a half to 477. December corn futures closed at 454½. That's down just 0.5 cents.
Man, talk about second verse, same as the first. We just got basically no change at all from it. You know, something interesting is we're back into that Jan 10 trading range. We're gonna see some pretty tough resistance at the Jan 10 high of 484.
Well, soybean carryover for the current marketing year is estimated at 380 million bushels, unchanged from February, just 1 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. USDA made no changes to the supply or demand side of the bean balance sheet and dropped 15 cents from the national average on-farm cash bean price projection to 995. USDA also left its South American bean crop estimates unchanged from last month, with Brazil at 169 million metric tons and Argentina at 49 million. July soybean futures closed below support at yesterday's low, but did end the day just above psychological support at 1025. May beans, 2¾ cents lower, 1011¼. July beans down 2¾ cents, 1025½. And November beans closed at 1015½, down 2¼ cents quickly. Chip, cotton carryover unchanged from February, 4.9 million bales. Dease cotton today, 19 points higher, 6885. Over to you, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Matt Bennett at agmarket.net. How you doing, Matt?
Doing good, buddy. How are you?
Doing all right. Tell me about corn. What do you like?
You know, the thing about it is that these, you know, the world numbers, you just kind of whittle those down just a little bit more. I mean, it's the lowest supplies we've had since 2016. So I know we're going to have pretty decent sized acres this year, but at the same time, we're going to need to, in my opinion, so we don't whittle world stocks down even more. Of course, U.S. stocks lower than a year ago. So I think it gives you a chance that you're at least going to have people on edge a little bit, and maybe have a chance for some sort of a weather market actually to unfold if you see some sort of inclement weather.
Yeah. That 480 level in the July contract, that's kind of the level that I'm looking at the most. Is there significance to it? What are you thinking?
Well, I think in the short run, there probably is. But at the same time, you know, I think that COT report last week certainly was as of Tuesday's close. It's going to look a lot different, I think, this week. I think that they bought a fair amount of corn from Wednesday to this Tuesday's close. And so it'll be very interesting to see how that goes. But I think funds are going to want to see whether we continue whittling down stocks. And if they do, I think if they get into inclement weather, they want to be long. I think they've already showed us that.
Yep. I think you're right. Talk to me about cattle. What do you like there?
Well, with cattle, Chip, I mean, fundamentally, it's still a great story. There's no question about it. We're still wanting people to at least be protected there. I mean, some of these cash prices, of course, have been fantastic. It's been a cash-led market. Of course, you can't buy cheap feeders anywhere. Anybody selling fast has got a big smile on their face still. And so my thought is stay protected just in case the funds lose interest. I mean, it doesn't mean it's bearish. They just may lose interest at some point, you know, and I don't want to be sitting there with a bunch of fats, you know, without some sort of protection.
Right. Okay, buddy. Hey, Matt, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, that is Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Okay, we've got to break down some of the numbers in the supply and demand WASDE report that we got from USDA. We're going to do that with Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions, next here on AgriTalk.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.56% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us on this report day Tuesday. We're going to talk about what's in the WASD report and some other issues out there as well with Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions. Bill, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Chip. It's great to be back on the program. Looking forward to it. I'm honored to be the person in the spotlight on Report Day.
Love it. Absolutely. Let's break it down. And you know what? To break this down, Bill, I think we need to start with the note that the World Board included at the start of the WASD, the World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates, so that we just have a good understanding. I'm going to read some of it. The WASD report only considers trade policies that are in effect at the time of the publication. Further, unless the formal end date is specified, the report also assumes that these policies remain in place. U.S. tariffs on Canada and Mexico have been suspended until April 2. However, until these are in effect, WASD does not incorporate them into the commodity forecast. But because Canada's retaliatory tariffs remain in place, these were accounted for in the WASD estimates and are assumed to continue. Finally, U.S. tariffs on China and China's retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. are assumed to remain in place. So it is very much a what it is today is what it is today and forever going forward. That's what we're assuming in the outlook.
That's correct, and that's been the policy of USDA in regard to if there's a biofuel issue or anything else that's happened in the past. What they know today to be legally in place, they allow. The one thing that China put tariffs on Canadian canola meal and canola oil, which is maybe more minor for some of the listeners, but that does not go into effect because it's not actually in place for a week or so. So this will be more important in the future as we go through the dynamics, which with regard to tariffs, it probably changed 13 times between that now and the next WASD.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Did you see any sign of this? I mean, the one thing that I'm looking at is the export number on wheat. China doesn't import very much wheat, but they did put tariffs on increased tariffs on U.S. wheat. Is that why we went down on the wheat export number?
No. Everything, I think, with regard to their export adjustments they made were based on PACE data. There wasn't enough internationally changing in these reports, maybe aside from Chinese imports of corn being reduced by 2 million tons for 24-25. Other than that, it's all U.S. PACE data, which is based on export sales, export inspections, and census reports.
Okay. Let's stay on that wheat number just a bit. Yeah, the carryover went up 15 million bushels, but I don't feel like that really changes the outlook for the wheat market much, does it?
I don't think that change was made with regard to international developments. But we did have several countries, Argentina up almost a million tons in their crop for 24-25. Australia jumped 2 million tons to over 34 million tons. And then we saw a minor adjustment in Ukraine. So there's a few more bushels floating out there from an international perspective that will be big competition within the next, I'd say 30 or 60 days, we'll start watching those new crop sales of U.S. wheat like a hawk to see if there's anything we can indicate, say. And of course, we'll be watching in May what the initial USDA official forecast for exports are for wheat.
Right. Okay. Let's hop on over to corn. No changes on the supply side or the demand side of the balance sheet. Do you anticipate any trends going forward in that number?
Yes. I think they're undershooting, and I'm so proud to be able to bring a little bit of a bullish light to this because I usually don't. I think we could see some adjustments there in the corn export number, and I think that could be of some interest. So maybe we get to 2.5 billion on exports, and in the report today they're at 2450, and we probably are understating ethanol grind too. And you know, there are human beings in the World Board that are putting this together, and much like a lot of business today, they're kind of a little bit frozen in their tracks because things could go either way. But it looks like to me, before it's said and done, before we get fully into the growing season, we're going to see a tighter balance sheet for corn this year.
Okay. Tell me more on the ethanol grind. Why? What do you see that makes you think that we could maybe add a little bit there?
That is primarily reflective of PACE data better, surprisingly good to me, but really better than I think we've been expecting all year. So a pretty good upward push in ethanol, maybe 25 to 50 million bushels there. And you're getting to levels that at least justify where we are, if not a little bit higher board.
Okay. All right. Did you see anything on the global S&Ds that caught your attention?
Well, we didn't change South America, and it looks like their crops finishing out without too much problem right now. China's remains AWOL. I think we're 23 million tons a year ago, and now we're down to 8 million tons. So we're kind of pre-2019, or I just remember the derecho year. They bought about a billion bushels of U.S. corn. We're back to levels we saw before that, and that's been 6 or 7 years now. So China's presence in there is backed off, and maybe they're pulling down some of their internal inventories. You know, their economy has been slowing down here and not growing as rapidly. So China's not the catalyst for U.S. demand, at least not right now, that it has been over the past couple of years.
Okay. So what is your outlook here on corn? It sounds to me like maybe we inch this this price projection, which is a national average on farm cash price projection, 435. You might see that working just a bit higher.
Yes. So let's talk about that for just a second. 435, that's an average for the year. And it's weighted towards farmer marketing. So we've got September through February completely done. And if I do my Southern Illinois math, 6 months of the year, that's half the crop year. Yeah. I would say that probably represents 3/4 of marketings or a little bit more. So it's what my point is, it's hard to get that number to move much. Even at prices, because we have so much of the crop already marketed, and that goes into their calculation of that the annual average.
Yep. Okay. All right. Very good. But well, you know what? I'm going to ask that question again. It sounds to me like you're a little bit bullish on the outlook for corn.
Yes, I think this is it. It's dangerous to be bullish having a good memory of what happened in 2018 and 19 with tariffs, that we really hurt the U.S. markets significantly. But from here, the fundamentals seem to suggest we can hold in, let's call it the May contract in something 460 to 490 range. So there's probably more upside than downside. And then we'll start to get into the weather, and it's a pretty different situation when you go to the new crop because of the expected recovery in acres.
Yep. We are definitely going to talk more about that when we come back from the break, Bill. You know, the fund positioning, the way that they rolled out of that long position and did it in a hurry. I mean, the price reflected it though, didn't it?
Yes. When you don't know how big of a backstop they are for the market, that if you get a move in the market, they're going to respond to it and offset some of that. And that's pretty common. but they aren't there. We went fully risk off, and I think to some degree we still are in a risk off environment. That when there's nobody there to buy, you see what happens in the stock market.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk more about that risk off environment. We've got to, when we talk about some tariffs and the trade issues that we're dealing with right now. We need to break down the S&D balance sheets on soybeans. We're going to do that, and then we'll get into that trade issue with Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts, so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where April lean hog futures were $1.75 lower at $86.55. April fat cattle, $1.02 lower at $199.55. April feeder futures, 22.5 cents lower at $277.70. December cotton today, 19 points higher at $68.85. May soybean futures 2¾ lower, 10.11¼. Novi beans closed at 10.15½. That's down 2¼ cents. May corn futures 1¾ cents lower, 4.70¼. December corn futures closed at 4.54½. That's down 0.5 cent on the day. July HRW wheat futures 5¾ cents lower at 5.85½. July SRW down 5½ cents to 5.71¾. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cooler today compared to yesterday, with highs reaching the mid-40s and winds a bit breezy out of the north. But we're sitting pretty under plenty of sunshine. That stays the case for the rest of the week as well, with highs making it to the mid-50s tomorrow and low 60s on Thursday. Get the bathroom you've always wanted, interest-free, from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 38.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions. We've covered wheat. We've covered corn. Let's move straight on to soybeans here, Bill. Any messages in the supply and demand reports that we need to get registered on here?
Well, I kind of look at the pay state on crush and the pay state on soybean oil, and I'm reminded that maybe denial ain't just a river in Egypt. I don't think we fully adjusted those numbers like I think we need to. I think we'll have a larger crush when it's all said and done to support two things. One, the strong demand on the export side for soybean oil, probably higher than USDA's even got it now. And also just a tremendous growth in domestic demand for soybean meal. It's been pretty astonishing that most of the growth in crush has gone not into exports, which was the conventional wisdom, but into domestic usage. So I think there's some adjustments to come in the, at least on the soybean balance table in the crush. And we also get on December 1 some stocks that to me indicated an overestimation of the 2024 soybean crop. And maybe by 20 million bushels. And that's something to look for on the March 31, when we get the March 1 yeah. stocks, because yeah. that'll say whether we have can confirm that that's it. And we can say, hey, this residual needs to be bigger than what the USDA has at 39 million. So I think 380 is we've got downside from 380 million bushels in the soybean carryout.
Okay. So these demand trends that you talked about, Bill, for the products, they're like the opposite of what everybody is expecting, including me. Okay, I thought, hey, watch out, our domestic use on soybean oil is going to be going through the roof, and soybean meal, we better find a way to export it or we're not going to be able to use it all. And here we are using it domestically. How do we explain this?
Yes, and a share of the oil side, significant share of the oil side is in the export. So domestic food use is basically flat. Actually, USDA has it down a little bit, but exports are up 1.2 billion pounds. So that's a big driver of the crush. The the meal is a little bit inexplicable. I always thought that these rations that the hog producers had were kind of set in stone unless soybean meal got extremely cheap relative to corn. We probably aren't quite there yet, but I think that there may be some substitution of soybean meal in for synthetic protein in some cases.
Well, and then just the bird numbers and the layer numbers. It takes soybean meal to make eggs. It takes soybean meal to make broilers and it's like I said, it's a little head scratching to figure out where this meal is going.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it's, I think, you know, the pace data through January or February certainly shows that it's actually happening. It's not illusionary. It's not imaginary. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're running something like a 6% increase in domestic meal use for the year, and the USDA has a projection of up 4.2% for the year. So I think that we're not getting that many more numbers out there. The numbers mm-hmm. are not changing that much, and they would rarely change by 4%, or we'd have a dramatic shortage or be flooded with proteins. It's got to be something in the usage rates that's changed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You mentioned the year-to-year changes. I want to mention the month-to-month changes. Bean oil for biofuels down 150 million pounds to 13.45 billion pounds, and bean oil exports up 200 million to 1.8 billion. I mean, yeah, it's a huge increase year on year, but there's nothing wrong with a 200 million pound increase in that bean oil export number either. That's That's an impressive number. Any other bottom lines, any other takeaways from the supply and demand reports?
Well, this should not have been a report that creates a dramatic market reaction. If you look at the last 25 years, the percent change on the report days, the 15 report days, these are among the most quiet ones we have. And April will be too, but the March 31 is not. That's one that the market responds to, where we get the new stocks numbers for March 1 as well as prospective planning. So, you know, the market, it won't take long before we start thinking a lot more about, and probably with the catalyst will be the running up to the prospective plannings. We'll start focusing a lot more on new crop, I think. It looks like we're going to have mixed outlook for beans and growing carryouts for wheat and corn, in my view.
Yep, yep. So do a little preview of the prospective plannings report. Do you like USDA Seth Meyer's numbers? 94 million planted corn, 84 million planted soybean?
I do, but I listen to your show, and I'm, you know, if I wanted to be an outlier, I'd have to probably go to close to 100 million acres of corn if I wanted to showcase myself. I'm at 93.5. I think that the agronomics play such, and logistics on a farm, such a role that I don't think we year to year would expect to see that big of a change. And we will recall that last year we had a pretty significant change from the March prospective plannings to what we saw in June. So we can't treat that as gospel. But certainly, if you looked at the economics and that's all you had to go on, you'd have Seth would be low on his 94 million corn acres. But I think I would suspect there's more to it in the end than that.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I always underestimate the agronomic and logistical impacts or considerations when I'm looking at what these acres might be. Here's the deal, though, Bill. I think cotton's trying to give acres away, and corn's probably going to pick them up down south, right?
Yeah, cotton's certainly trying to give them away, and I would, you know, some will go almost automatically to soybeans, maybe a little bit to rice, but the larger share probably is to corn. I guess I would agree with that. I'm not sure where we should land in the Dakotas, in North Dakota, in terms of switching away from wheat. But there's quite a few things that could push us above the 94 million acre level when it's all said and done.
Yep. Yep. And you know what's probably going to happen is it's going to be wetter than heck in those areas that we are talking about right now that could pick up corn, and we'll end up, right, you know, like 92 or something like that. So the point being, weather has a lot to do with how many corn acres are going to get planted yet this spring. Okay.
Absolutely.
Tariffs. Bill, just give me your take on all the tariff issues and all the trade issues.
An unvarnished look at that.
Please.
Well, comparative advantage was discovered like 200 years ago by David Ricardo, and it's still an economic axiom that rules. I mean, I think even at Iowa State, you probably learned that. So I think it's a real thing. When I see the Wall Street Journal refer to tariffs on Canada and Mexico as the dumbest trade war in history, it kind of validates what I'm thinking. We went through the GATT rounds. We started where the average tariff was 22% among all the participants in that. And when it was all said and done in 1999, we had it down to 5%. And I think that, you know, over that period of time, we had growth in inflation-adjusted exports out of the U.S. of 160%. So I think it's a win-win situation, even if the U.S. isn't the biggest winner in all cases for it. So I think that it's important we get these behind us. I have some optimism and faith that we are not going to be focused on Canadian tariffs and Mexican tariffs much more than a couple more months. I think that's, okay. that story is going to play behind us. China is a different story. So I think there's some, we can be somewhat optimistic, but for now we're just, you know, sitting at the edge of our seat, waiting to hear what the next dynamic is in you know, Canada for the time being looks like they've dropped the gloves and they're ready to go.
What 30 seconds is all I got, but it seems like the markets are doing, you know, there's volatility there, but the markets are making adjustments on a pretty organized effort, aren't they?
They're trying to. I haven't looked at the volumes, but the funds probably have taken their chips and gone home for at least a minute on that. The stock market's not taking it quite as bad. The stock market does not like the uncertainty. They just the people in the stock market just have not traded enough commodities to understand what volatility is really like.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I've got a million memes in my head on that one right there. Bill, thank you, my friend. That was fun. Thank you.
That was great. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excellent. Bill Lapp, advanced.
We're looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, it's me, your USPS Ground Advantage shipment. Just left the warehouse and hitting the road.
I know, just got the notification.
Great, smooth sailing so far. I'm almost there.
Yes, I know. I get all the updates.
Made it. Safe and sound.
I know.
Well, did you know I was with USPS the whole time?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Keep your business in the know with USPS Ground Advantage Service. Visit USPS.com/in the know.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99. With the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback, all on Cricket's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? Smile. You're on Cricket.
Requires new account and ported on $60 plan. First service charge tax due at sale. $25 activation fee. Terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
Is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com. What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here, along with Chip Flory, your beloved host. How you doing, buddy?
Outstanding. Yeah. I feel good.
Do you?
I feel good.
You sound
all right. I probably feel better than I look.
Really?
Sure.
Mm,
that's how good I feel.
Interesting. You must feel pretty good. Awfully good. Well, let's talk generally here. The reports today kind of expected to be a bit of a yawner. You know, I feel like both Bill and Matt found some stuff in there, but let's talk to you. Did anything stick out to you in this report or maybe in these conversations here?
Yeah, it was the soybean oil usage estimates.
Okay.
Yeah, you take 150 million pounds out of the biofuel use and add 200 million pounds to the export number on soybean oil and not make a change to the soybean meal numbers, supply or demand. I just find that really interesting that we have shifted soybean oil demand. Yes. I mean, there's no question. Let me get those numbers in front of me because when we look at total biofuel demand, you go back to 2022-23, soybean oil was sending 12.5 billion pounds to biofuels, then 12.989, just call it 13. billion pounds. Then the estimate was 13.6 billion. It's now 13.45 billion pounds going to biofuels. So that's been significant growth, excellent growth. But then, you look at the export side of things and good grief, we're talking about 378 million pounds of demand in 2022-23 for soybean oil exports. Up to 617, up to 1.6 billion last month, and up to 1.8 billion this month. Like, Bill pointed it out. It's a 1.2 billion pound increase in soybean oil exports. That's 2/3 more. Mm-hmm. It's a big increase. Big increase.
Yeah, for sure. Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net, pretty convinced that the funds want to be long.
Yeah.
Is that something we can know?
If past performance is any indication of future performance, then yes. Just simply based on the time of the year. Funds like to move to the long side of the market this time of the year, thinking, hey, we're going to have a planting season problem someplace, somewhere, sometime, and they want to be on the long side of the market for that.
And they want to be there before the market gets there, though, right?
Because sure.
Because wanting
sure.
to be long and being long are not the same.
No, that's you got that exactly right. Exactly right. Yes, they want to be there before a move of any significance would kick off. Now, funds, you know, they like to be there when a move starts.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
But, get it all. But they're not afraid to make a market prove what, you know, that a trend has changed before changing with it. I mean, we've seen them be stubbornly on the short side of the corn market, stubbornly on the long side of the market.
Yep.
We've seen that a lot. So they like to make a market prove that it's trending before okay. they really jump on.
Well, that's probably wise. Probably wise. Yeah. Bill Lapp, Advanced Economic Solutions, claims they undershot the corn export number, maybe.
Yeah.
Understated ethanol grind, maybe. He yeah. did even let it out that he might be just slightly bullish corn, yeah. sort of.
Yeah, it's sort of. Mostly. Pace, it's the pace of usage. He went back to that on the bean demand. He went back to that on the corn demand a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just saying, listen, I'm looking at the pace at which we're using this stuff up, and it's telling us that USDA is too low. So maybe things do tighten up a bit. I can't disagree mm-hmm. with what yeah. Bill was saying about the usage that we've seen so far. It's been really, really good. The concern is, was the export demand front-loaded because of tariffs? Well, if that's the case, then the pace is going to slow. If that was not the case, which I would think that corn sales would have slowed down by now if mm-hmm. it weren't the case, then you got to respect the trend. And the sure. trend is stronger use than what is factored into those balance sheets right now.
Yeah. Especially with thinning global corn stocks. I think yeah. Matt tagged them at right around the 2016 low levels.
Yeah. Yeah. And anybody that I think has been working on telling a price friendly story on corn, the first thing that they're doing is going to the year to year trend in global corn stocks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't know if I can get to it here real quick or not. I'm going to try. But when we take a look at these global trends on corn demand, 2023-24, our ending stocks of corn around the world, including China, 313.95. This year, 290.31. Ah, I gave you the February numbers right there. 313.95 versus 288.94.
Oh. Oh.
So it's tightening up around the globe. There's just no question about it. So that's where the bullish story comes
yeah,
from.
Just a little bullish.
Yeah, just a little. Mm-hmm. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for March 17th through the 21st. I'm going to drink a green beer on that day, just so you know. All right.
Okay.
Above normal temperatures across most of the Corn Belt. The exception is where near normal temperatures are expected in North Dakota and far northern Minnesota. We got mostly above normal precipitation expected over the corn growing areas. All right. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Wow, you got to come back. We got a farmer forum tomorrow morning. And Bob Elliott, we're going to talk about what's going on in the economy with Bob Elliott from Unlimited Funds here on AgriTalk.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it?
Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a possible breakthrough in the war between Russia and Ukraine. Talks between the U.S. and Ukrainian officials ending with a month-long ceasefire deal.
Emerging from talks in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, held with senior aides to President Volodymyr Zelensky, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the Ukrainians have agreed to an immediate 30-day ceasefire.
We'll take this offer now to the Russians, and we hope that they'll say yes,